What can you do July 1? What does July 1 symbolize?
July 1 symbolizes unrestricted free agency opening up.
And?
And when contract extensions can be signed.
Hello!
For guys who have 1 year left on their deal?
Correct. Who falls into that camp for the Calgary Flames that if you sign this summer, you might get an absolute bargain?
Rasmus Anderson?
Hello!
Boom!
July 1. Tell me I'm crazy, 960-960. You will not get a better contract and a better deal for a player if you extend Rasmus Anderson long-term this summer.
Accurate statement.
It's got to be done. And it's maybe a situation where the player might want another year before it can happen. But, you know, we're going to do a little who says no later. But essentially, what would happen if you offered a lot of security and a lot of guaranteed dollars right at the feet of Rasmus Anderson's camp?
What would constitute as a lot of security, i.e. term, and a lot of dollars? What do you think would get it done?
Well, I mean, it all depends. And this is
where, I know, but let's, because we can never be in his shoes.
So here's the thing. Like, he's the son of a former player, but not a guy that made schmillions in the NHL, right? Fair? He's a guy that has flashed top pairing stuff and has been that at lower levels. But the resume he's built statistically is not one that if you took to arbitration, you're going to get paid well. I would look to what the Vegas Golden Knights did with Shea Theodore, albeit not a year ahead of his RFA status, but right up against it. They paid him $5.2 million for a max term 8 years. He and his camp apparently didn't want to go 8 years because they think he can be a whole lot better and run a power play and be a top pairing guy. And he was none of those things when he signed that. But the team essentially said, we want to lock you up long term and we'll pay you for not quite what you are yet. And in exchange, you're going to give us some term and you'll still be able to get to free agency, you know, in 7 years from now when you're in your late 20s and you'll still have another chance for a payday. I don't know that you can force a year out the same situation upon Rasmus Anderson, but you certainly not have to pay the same price.
Well, and you can certainly, like, there's no harm in trying very least.
So let's say this. What would Rasmus Anderson's camp say if you said, 6 years, $22 million.
So that would be a little less than four per?
Yeah.
It'd be about three and a half if my math
probably want more than that. So what? Let's say 24. It's four a year for 6 years. Who says no? I know that's not the segment we're doing, but it illustrates the point.
Here's what I'll say. I don't know if the Anderson camp would sign off and be like, let's do it. But at the very least, I think that would get them to the table. I think that would pique the interest. If they were to say, okay, we want to see if we can get a bargain here, but we're willing to offer substantial dollars. And maybe they come back and say, okay, give us another year and another 800,000 per. So maybe you're talking about seven times 4.5 and maybe you're in the ballpark.
Million. Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because you talk about the Vegas Golden Knights, the first team. I wasn't thinking Theodore. I was thinking Tuck, different position. But they did it with
approach,
both Tuck and Theodore. Signed them to seven-year deals without a ton that has been proven, but with a ton that could be accomplished down the road.
And in a situation where they know the players well. They've been in the organization. They know their work ethic. They understand their strengths and weaknesses.
And Anderson's been in the organization now for 4 years, going on 4 years, drafted in the 2015 draft.
He will be an RFA next summer, due for a raise, with no Arbrights coming out of his entry-level contract. He's currently making $755,000. Obviously, there's bonuses and things like that. If you were just going to say, okay, prove it deal, 1 or 2 years, he's probably only going to make like $1.5 million, $2 million, right? Depending on how this next year goes. So what you're doing essentially is offering him a Brinks truck now to be a bit of a discount for years 3 and beyond of that contract. The way you win in this league is to be able to get guys below market value. Tampa's done a good job with that on some of their guys. Look at Stamkos. Other teams do it by extending guys early. And I would think the going rate for a top four defenseman, if Esa Lindell is going to get a shade under 6, is that what he got? 5.83?
Yeah, 5.8.
I would think it's going to be tough to get top four defensemen for less than $4.5 million a year. So if you can lock him in around that number now with long term, it's only going to become a better and better and better deal. And he hasn't flashed the kind of offensive numbers he has at prior levels. And it wouldn't be crazy that he does you know, certainly become much more of an offensive weapon, run a power play unit. This guy could be immensely expensive in 2-3 years. This might be a $7 million defenseman.
He could be immensely expensive in a year. That's why...
So back up the truck. Let's do this now.
And I'd be all for it. Like, from a team perspective, if they could get that done, and if Brad Treliving was comfortable enough in putting down some significant dollars to get him signed right now, I'd be all for it. I do wonder a little bit about where the Anderson camp would be, because if I'm Anderson's agent, I'm saying, okay, you know what? Tea leaves telling me that he's going to play a lot with Mark Giordano next year. Tea leaves are telling me that this guy took significant steps in his first full NHL year. So I'm going to wait a little bit. So I think that you're going to have to, the Brinks truck might be a little bit more even than we're thinking to be able to convince him to do that.
What's the AAV if you go max term? Is it $5 million? Is it $4.5?
Yeah, somewhere in that range.
I would do it. Yeah.
I would still do it, because
that's less than what you're paying Hanifin. I think his ceiling's higher than Hanifin's. I know the age is similar. I think he's a smarter player than Hanifin. He doesn't skate as well, but I'd take the brain over the feet in that position.
I think Rasmus Anderson's a top pairing defenseman in this league. I think he's ready to do it right now.
If he's not with Gio, he's not. But if you're gonna get the Gio bump next year, playing with this guy, pay him before that. It's the exact same as not letting Matthew Tkachuk play with the top line this year. Put him there next year when he's got his new deal. You're gonna ask for an overpay if you put him with Gio all year before you extend him.
I mean, if it's best for the team, then you still do it. But you're right. That's just going to
just
inflate.
Get it done. Yeah,
and that's
just
why
more reason to get this done July 1.
I think Anderson's ready to be a top pairing guy with Giordano, and I don't think he's that far off from being ready to be a top pairing guy without a Norris Trophy guy beside him. Like, if we're talking in 3 years' time with Valimaki on the left and Anderson on the right of a top pairing, would not surprise
not
me
at
one
all.
Bit.
I think that's what internally they probably see. And maybe Gio is your second or third pair guy at that point. One other thing. Valimaki's got 2 full years before he gets paid. And I think he's going to be a guy that when he comes out of that entry level, or at least when you can extend him in a year's time, like, there's going to be a case for a lot of money here. They rave about him. They love his makeup. We all think he's going to be an outstanding player. If you can get a bit of a deal on Rasmus Anderson and it takes you a little more money short term to get that security long term, this is going to be kind of what we're looking at with Carolina. Affordable, deep defense core for a team.
So if you could go 7 times 4.5, that's not correct math.
So that'd probably be
$31.5 million over 7 years.
Here's my problem with that, though, because everyone and their blind cat can see that RFAs are getting paid big, big money at entry-level deals. If I'm Rasmus Anderson, everybody around Anderson's talking about, you're going to be a number one pairing defenseman in the future. Why would I sign through my prime years at $4.5 million?
That's why, truly, just hang on, though,
because I agree with what you're saying with forwards. Who are the D-men that have got paid huge amounts of money at
entry-level? Well, if you're a top-pairing defenseman, it doesn't matter. You're going to get paid, right?
But he's not that yet.
But if he feels he's going to be that in 2 years, why would I sign for 7?
It's tough because I hear that, and yet...
Like, Zach Werenski, do you think he's going to get $8 million this year?
I just think, because you always talk about the argument of, oh, well, you got financial long-term security. That's great. And yeah, I know injuries can happen at any point, and you could end your career before you even know it. I just think the way guys are getting paid now around that age... I know the sample list
Seth Jones signed 6 years, $32.4 million, and a significantly higher-end player.
And in a different universe. I think
sure.
Granted, Will's point different is, universe.
Yeah, Will's point is that you're going to get paid out of entry level. But there are a couple D-up this year. McAvoy and Werenski. Like, no one's putting him in that class. Even next year, if he's playing alongside Gio, he's not going to get... And I don't think those guys are going to touch...
Well,
eight,
I just
nine,
think
10,
that
do you? I don't think it's the same as a
I just feel like if the game is changing to where you get paid in your 20s as opposed to your 30s, why would you do that if you're Anderson?
I just think that it's very easy for us to say that, but the prospect of having a 7-year deal and being a $4.5 million, like, as much as the agent might be saying no, there's
that whole
of players,
element of betting on yourself, right? That's that whole thing.
Well, and there's both sides, how many guys are willing to say that? Like, Rasmus Anderson is a very confident guy. There's no doubt about it. He's one of my favorite guys to talk to, one of my favorite guys to deal with inside that
room.
That's
part of the reason I believe he wouldn't do it.
But if you come from where he comes from and you've got that type of money and that type of security staring you in the face, and it's a fair deal. Like, I think if they were to go and offer him a 7-year deal at over $4 million per for having played 1 year in the NHL, that to me is very fair. Like, yeah, this is not the Flames trying to swindle anybody or lowball anybody. That's a fair market value deal for right now. I don't think it's out of the question that he would say, let's do it. But there's absolutely something to be said about a guy saying, you know what, I appreciate that. That's a very generous offer, but I think I'm in a better negotiating stance a year from now.
And to Will's point, I'll say this. Young stars are getting paid at entry level. Guys that aren't stars are not. It's still the same old NHL if you're not a star. And I don't think if Rasmus Anderson, even if he plays the Mark Giordano and he puts up like 35 points, that doesn't put him in star territory. I still don't think that's a spot where, oh, I'm just going to get paid like, you know, McAvoy and Werenski are. No, you're not at all. You're not that player, and your ceiling might not even be where those guys are now. I think it's easy to say I'll bet on me and I'll make way bigger bank down the road, but in practice, try saying no to $25 to $30 million. No,
I get it. Right? We're talking more than that, right?
I get it.
Well, I mean, it depends on term,
But guys have done it, so it's not like it's rare.
But have guys done it with how many career games in the
NHL?
No,
for sure. Like, I just, it's I think not there's, a, but the I also same. Think there's some give and take too, right? It's like, okay.
Okay, but here's the question. Why did Shea Theodore do it? Because Shea Theodore's ceiling is, I think,
way higher,
than Anderson's.
Offensively, absolutely.
And he didn't even have a year left. He was at the end of his contract, and Vegas still was able to convince him.
$700,000 more than your 4.5, right?
No, but he's a way
better
player.
But he's also a better player who's accomplished.
Yeah.
So how did Vegas get Tuck and Theodore to sign these deals?
Doesn't hurt when you go to the Stanley Cup final.
I agree, but it doesn't hurt when
I'm just saying.
Won the Western Conference in the regular season.
I think the only reason those situations got done that way is because the team said, look, you can. This is where everyone forgets, is that RFAs have some leverage, but the ultimate leverage still lies with the team.
100%.
These guys didn't have Arbrights. Like, what's your next best option if you're Alex Tuck or you're Shea Theodore? And Vegas says, it's an 7 or 8 year deal, and here are some numbers. Come back to us with what you want, but we're not doing anything short term. Like, what can you do if they say, here's the line in the sand, we're not doing a bridge deal with you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to go play in the cave for $2 million and lose money every year? Or do you come
and then
around
lose all of your bargaining power?
So the difference between, or the explanation for why it happened to them is that Vegas basically said, this is the only way we're going to do things. At least that's what I was led to believe.
And if you're the Flames, do the same thing.
The problem with that is that pressure point of sitting out doesn't come for another year.
And here's the other difference, too, between...
If they don't sign,
difference between Vegas and Calgary in terms of signing those guys. Vegas had a ton of cap space when they did that. Calgary doesn't.
They don't right now, but when the contract
was also a lot easier, though, for McPhee to say, you know what, that is the way we're going to do the business with everybody because we've got cap space. And now they've got to deal with some of that crunch. But it was also, I think, a very unique situation being an expansion team, being the fact you did have money to spend. Am I saying that, you know, they're completely different? No. But I certainly think there was some more flexibility on the Vegas side as opposed
to Anderson's deal is set to kick in, the Flames will have almost $36 million of cap space under current cap conditions with a cap going up because they will have
Brody Hamonic and Stone
all coming. Now, I do think one of those guys will be back, most likely Hamonic. I do believe that they will re-sign him. But even still, $4.5 million, let's just say that's where it lands for a guy like Anderson, $4.5 million coming onto your cap, that is easily, and knowing that Gaudreau, Monahan, Backlund, Lindholm, Hanifin, even Giordano are on pretty cap-friendly contracts right now, yeah, they're going to have to sign Valimaki. Yeah, they're going to have to. And we're not talking about Tkachuk's deal. That obviously comes into the conversation. But I don't think they are not in the same cap situation that teams like Tampa Bay,
Winnipeg, Toronto.
Like,
I agree.
Their cap scenario is nowhere near as dire going
forward. It opens right up after this season.
And what we're talking about in getting him to a deal like that just helps keep the cap flexible. Look, there's a couple people who are texting in about, well, no, you can't run into the same scenario you ran into with TJ Brody. I'm sorry. We can dislike the way Brody played all we want. He's still a top four defenseman.
He's a top four,
and
that's what they get paid. Yeah.
At $4.6 million, I will take the Brody contract all day, even knowing he hasn't been as good the last 2 years. At $4.6 million for a guy who can play 25 minutes a night, you'll take that.
With the way salaries are going, of course you will.
And they have that deal because he signed it in a similar situation to when their potentially going to have conversations with Rasmus Anderson.
I tell you what, like, I think this guy's going to be an incredibly good player. He's already shown so much. But how many opportunities would a player have the same year they didn't make a team out of the camp and with only 95 NHL games to their entire resume, playoffs and regular season? How many times would that kind of a player have a chance to say no to $25 million
yep.
plus?